So she, we ready?
Looks like she's on. I think she's just getting connected to the audio. But we can legally.
I can be this. Yeah. All right.
My abject apologies. I'm so sorry.
No problem.
Well, it is a problem. I'm sorry. I'm running late. And
we're just happy to see you, Lynn.
Yes, I know. We were so worried.
Well.
Imagine August if you didn't show up.
All right. So I'll begin here. So I'm calling this Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 6 p.m. on July 14, 2022. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link found on the boston.gov public notices page or by calling 929-205-6099 and entering meeting ID 880-8665-2967 pound. You can also submit written comments via email to fortpointldc@boston.gov. So today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications, and in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Members of the public will have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. When we are at that point, I'll announce it. And so to do so, you will just raise your hand in the prompt and in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. And if you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And I'll repeat these instructions when we open up public comment. All right, so the first item on the agenda is, it's actually a violation, and it is number VIO.18.013, and that's at 51 Sleeper Street, and it was regarding the installation of banner signs of Hopsters Brewing Company on the Sleeper Street facade without prior commission review and approval. So if the applicant can just go through and explain that and explain how you're, you know, mitigating this.
Sure. Good evening. Brian Keenan with Nanfeng Life Science Real Estate. I am the Senior Vice President with Nanfeng. So we purchased the building back in December of 2020. And when we purchased this building, the sign was an existing sign that was there. So we really didn't know there was a violation in progress. You'll see a little bit later on in this meeting here, we are proposing after this violation to redo the facade of the existing building.
Okay.
Actually two options for the commission. One option is we can take down the sign over the next month or so, patch the areas that are affected by the sign, or going into the next slide or so. You see the new facade that we're proposing to install.
All right, so it's either remove the sign and patch, and then wait for this new facade to be put up, and then you put the sign in, or you want it, and or have the sign put on first. Is that what you're asking?
No. So the Hopster sign, I guess there's three options. We could leave it as is until we redo the front.
Yeah.
We could take it down, patch it before we redo the front.
All right.
Just redo the front.
All right. The brewing company's gone, right? So this is going to be the Bergmeier headquarters now?
No, they're the architect on the project.
All right. Who's that?
We're proposing a new lobby.
All right.
Later in the night here.
Is this going to be a single occupant in the building or, a single tenant?
No, it's multiple.
Multiple. All right. So you're not going to need a sign that announces the business. It's just more the address. Okay.
Yeah. It's just going to be the number.
Sue, if you have any thoughts about this, I mean, it probably would be, good to get rid of it and then patch up any scars that might be there. We do realize that this is a new facade on this building. It isn't the original facade, but still, if there are holes in the masonry, we would want that to be patched up and made watertight again. Does that sound like something?
I think that's the best thing.
Okay. And then we'll then await. We'll see what your your application is for the next piece here, and then we can go forward from that on how we work the sign.
There was one last question for the commission. Is a permit that's being held up by the commission. It's an alt permit, and I didn't know if it was associated with this violation.
It's not being held up. It's just part of the review process. So you're just still in the process.
Yeah, the permit is actually not for this project that we're going to be presenting to you guys.
Oh, then it's not for this violation though.
Okay. All right. It's just getting caught up in Landmark. It's for some work to be done on the first floor and the back part of the first floor.
And that was part of an application and we approved it?
It didn't. Landmark did not approve it yet. It was submitted, four or five months ago.
Oh, wow.
Like on just ISD, or did you submit a Landmark's application too?
Everything through ISD, and it's gone through the process. It didn't get submitted to Landmark directly. It just went through ISD's process. And
we have no idea, because you have to submit an application to Landmark's. ISD does not automatically push something to us. If they do, we just would write back to them, tell them that we need a permit application. So any work that you're going to want to do, you're going to send an application. And then if it's exempt, we can send you an exemption.
It's not exterior work. It's all interior work.
Oh.
Then ISD needs to fix that.
Okay.
But if it's interior work, it's not in our purview anyway, right?
Exactly. So ISD needs to fix that.
Yeah. So we don't need to approve it. Yeah. So.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. So let's then, the decision would be then to just, remove the sign that's there and then do whatever you need to do to mitigate it. And then, we'll wait for this next review of the next application here and see where we go from there. So. All right, so the next is this.
Wait a minute. Can I just ask, because I'm really confused now. Is this first thing on the agenda just the violation, or are they also here to get some things approved?
No, the first one is just the violation.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's it was the banner sign that was put up by the previous owner. So these people don't even have anything to do with it. So.
Okay.
All right, so now we're in the design review applications, and that is the first one here is application 22.13. Yes.
Do we have to vote? Violation.
Oh, we don't vote for violations, do we? Don't thought we did. Yeah. We do?
Yes.
Oh, all right. Okay, so we'll have a motion on removing the sign and patching any masonry damage.
So moved to remove the sign and patch any damage.
All right.
Second.
Okay. So we'll just do it by voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? None. Okay. Now we'll move on. Next, application 22.1389, and this is again 51 Sleeper Street, and the proposed work is to reclad existing brick piers with new aluminum composite panels, install a new aluminum curtain wall with high visible light transmittance glazing, new pavers with the property line at building entry, within the property line at the building entry, and then a new building signage and new spandrel panels that will extend on both sides of the building that face Sleeper and Seaport Boulevard. Okay. Go ahead.
Is it my turn to take the floor?
Who has control over the screen?
This is your application.
So I guess I have a question. Am I able to control the screen and push the slides through?
Wait, Rachel has the slides in control. So just let her know when you want her to move to the next slide.
Okay. You can just say next. Just say next slide and I'll go.
Okay, great.
Introduce yourself too before you get any further.
Great. I'm Kristen Hill. I'm a senior interior designer here at Bergmeyer. So we are also a tenant here in the building at 51 Sleeper Street. So you can go to the next slide. So an overview, the 51 Sleeper Street building is at the intersection of the old Fort Point district, as well as the new Seaport district. Next slide. So we think that this location can serve as a gateway to the Landmark District in helping bridge the old and the new. Next. A little bit of history. This used to be a shoe manufacturing building. And then in 1982, there was recladding and new metal panels were put on the exterior facade. Next. So this is a current condition of the building. You can see the metal panels a little bit more clear. Next. And then looking at the existing floor plan, the gray hatch is the current condition of the interior lobby on the right side, and then the vacant Hopsters restaurant space on the left. And then highlighted in yellow is the exterior facade. And then just wanna call your attention to the two existing revolving doors that enter into the building. And then next. We're proposing to relocate the building entry. We're gonna move it over one column bay. And this helps with the interior programming of our new lobby space. A couple other features, we're having a new storefront and signage on the exterior. We're gonna have new pavers and new benching and planters just right across from Martin's Park for the public. And then also wanna note on the interior lobby, we have two public restrooms as well as a water bottle filler and water station. Next. Just wanted to give a little sneak peek. These are two interior renderings of our lobby. Just a little bit of the lounge area for the public as well as the reception when you first walk in. Next. So high level, just looking at the exterior scope, we are pretty much just keeping it at the store level. So what you see highlighted in the yellow box below, everything else to remain on the rest of the building. And then next, for the proposed, again, in the yellow box, updated signage, new storefront. And then we've already actually been approved for building signage up on the top of the building near the roof. Next. This is just the Seaport Boulevard side, similar condition, new storefront, signage on the storefront level. Next. As well as another top banner sign on the building that was previously approved by Landmarks this time last year. Next.
So that banner sign, is that gonna be a temporary thing or permanent?
It would be permanent.
Permanent, all right.
And it's pretty much an APSO Nanfong City Lab. So just putting the building's building owner signage on the building. And this just shows a close-up of that storefront level on Sleeper Street rendered. So showing you a little bit of the finished materials. We have this yellow metal. It is the building owner's branding color. We think it's also a nice complement to the adjacent Children's Museum roof structure that also has a yellow in it. The metal composite panels will be a dark gray black on the storefront. We'll have a paint to match on the existing garage doors. They will remain and just get repainted. We have a black granite for the base on the exterior storefront. And then a variety of multicolored gray toned pavers. Next. Similar condition on the Seaport Boulevard side. You can see at column D is where we stop our renovation. That's pretty much adjacent to the entry of the church. So everything will be to the left, would be in the back alley. Next. So I'm gonna break down just four main areas. So for the building entry, you can see that existing entry is not very visible and defined. And the Hopster signage pretty much dominates that building corner. Next. Our proposal is to make the new entry more defined, as well as just overall, the aesthetic is a historical nod to the industrial Fort Point past. And then also it takes cues from the metal panels above on the building. So we think it's a nice complement. Next. This is just another view from Sleeper Street. Next. And then talking about the storefront, right now there's existing brown tinted reflective glazing. We're going to rip that out and we're going to put in that highly reflective light transmittance glass. So it'll really open up the public, the public and the interior to make it more welcoming. Next.
When you say reflective, what do you mean? I mean, is it going to be mirror-like or
transparent? So it'll be clear glazing, okay, and you can see right into the lobby.
Yeah.
So next slide. Site work. We're proposing to remove the existing rails right out front in Hopsters, and the idea is that we'll propose to replace it. If you go to the next slide. We're going to make it very open. And again, this is directly across from the Martin Park entry. So there'll be public benching and planters. So just really making it more welcoming. Mm-hmm. And then currently the existing brick pavers are a little worn and deteriorating. So because we're removing the existing revolving doors, we're doing a lot of work there. We're going to replace it. If you go to the next slide. The proposal is to have a variety of stone pavers that have a similar aesthetic to the courtyard at the church nearby, just around the corner. Mm. So it's kind of that continuation of the seaport and that blending of the old and the new. Next. And then as we've talked about a little bit, signage, we'll remove the existing Hopster signage, what's left of it, patch and repair. And then next, the proposal will have the 51 sleeper annotation on both the Seaport Boulevard and Sleeper Street side. This signage was actually approved in the landmarks hearing last year. We've made it a little smaller than what was originally approved by a few inches. Next. So option one is what was approved last year. So it's a metal, yellow metal signage, and then it's backlit. Option two, we're proposing as another idea, it could be an illuminated LED front panel. So it'd be yellow at night and read more white during the day with the option to have color changing for events and special occasions. Next. And then we've just included a little bit more detailed sections for both option one. And then if you go to the next slide, option two. And then the next slide, this is our last slide. We were originally thinking we could reposition the building address, but we are no longer pursuing that at this time. So this is pretty much a void of a slide. So if you go to next, that's our presentation. So thank you.
Okay, great. So what the panels that you're putting on, especially like on the sign band, is that, I mean, it looks like it would be like one massive I-beam. Is that what it is? Or is it not that?
Essentially, yeah. So we'd be working with a metal composite manufacturer, and the idea is that it would look pretty streamlined, so it'd have that signage band resembling an I-beam, and then we'd clad the columns below that would recess a little bit.
Mm-hmm. When I saw this, I looked at first I thought, oh well, you know, maybe we should have the columns read through, but now that I see it, as I look at it more from farther away, it does give a base, sort of a base to the building itself. I felt it was going to be feeling like the building was sort of, but and it does give it. And again, I don't mind. I think if this was an original building, I think we would have probably said no. Let the columns read through and minimize as much disruption to the architecture as possible. But in this case, I think a contemporary expression here. Taking it a little bit out of the 80s and putting it into the, you know, into today's design probably is okay. the yellow inside the, what is that material? Is that just another also metal panel?
It is, correct.
And is that lit at all at night or no?
It would be. So it's kind of hard to tell in the renderings, but we do have this right at the, in the interior of the portal before you step inside the vestibule. We do have this vertical recessed light that will go up both sides and overhead as well. So it'll be this linear line of light that goes into the surround.
Yeah, okay. Well, yeah, I like the fact that you're providing public access to this. This is kind of a rare thing, and I think it's a nice gesture, especially the benches out there. I mean, what was that before? Was that cafe space for the beer place? I mean, I don't know why they had the metal fencing, but I'm glad that that's gone, actually.
Yeah, it was a drink rail.
Yeah.
It was hard to get through.
All right. So, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'll you know, see what the other commissioners feel. And as far as the number itself, I mean, I don't have a strong opinion one way or another. I guess I'm feeling that if you keep it such that it's yellow during the day, then that yellow kind of matches your yellow of the interior and it kind of coordinates better, I think. I don't know, you know, how many special events you're going to have and how many times you're going to need to change colors on this. But so I guess I'm kind of, you know, neutral on that. But and then the pavers, all of that goes is within your property line, which I'm glad that I think the pavers that we worked with the church on this and we asked them to come up with something that was and that would emulate the granite pavers that were once prevalent throughout this whole district. And they've chosen these. And I think that would be that's going to be a nice tie-in as well. So I appreciate your trying to link it to that. So. All right. I mean, that's all what I have to say. And the other commissioners have any thoughts?
I'll say I really like the yellow a lot. I think it's kind of fun and light, and as you say, connects to the museum. I think it's nice that the entry has been better accentuated. So 51 is the number, right? Although you thought you might become eight.
Okay.
Yeah. And I agree with David on the treatment of that number in terms of lighting. And
so that's all I think it's going to be a far more interesting building than it is now.
Oh, yes.
David, we can't hear you.
There we go. So the logo of the old engineering firm at the top of the building, that's, you said, I think that's going to stay, right?
Correct,
the triangle.
For now. Yep.
Yeah. So, okay. I mean, it's a nice sort of tie into what, because that whole building occupied that, the engineering firm occupied that whole building now, but so, all right. And then again, this banner is this something that is going to, you said it's going to announce the owner of the building or and like a phone number or something to call or what is that actually going to be?
So are you able to zoom in on the picture?
Oh. Yes. Do you want to zoom in on the label?
Yeah. If you're able to.
Yeah.
Oh,
Oh, I see. Oh, all right.
So it's, and I should have actually included a detail from this because it was part of the previous submission. So it's pretty much, I believe it's just the metal signage pin mounted onto the existing brick.
Oh, okay.
So it's City not Lab, a banner.
It's not a banner. It's this actually lettering that's attached. Okay. And City Lab is the name of the owner or wait, that's because you said it's not one single tenant in the building, right? I mean, it doesn't really matter, but I just wonder, I think that's,
Brian, again, with Nanfeng, it is not the name of our company, but it's one of the things that we do, you know, we do labs in the city, so it's just one of those city labs.
City Lab, okay.
Nothing.
And what is the material of this of that lettering, by the way? Is it metal? I guess, yeah, is that, I mean, this was already approved, so we don't really need to dwell on it. So, all right. I think it's actually fine. I'm glad it's not a banner and it's just going to be lettering up there. So, all right. So let's, I think if we have all the commissioners have weighed in, Lynn or Sue, did you have anything specific you wanted to state on this?
No, just what I said. I think it's
okay. Okay. All right. So let's open it to the public here. Members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. Oh, Sarah, you have your hand up.
Yes, please. This is Sarah McCammon. I'm Four Point resident. Thank you for the opportunity to speak on this project. Really want to commend the team and the owner on creating public realm along the sidewalk there. Just a quick reminder to Mr. Keenan that any interior changes as part of your Chapter 91 license must go through Mass DEP approval, which is separate, obviously, from this commission before you do any construction on that level. So I just wanted to kind of point that out really quickly. And in the previous design, there were cafe tables that were along the side in between your building and the church. And it kind of led in a nice way going to the back sort of corridor there, connecting with Farnsworth Street and some of the things that are going on back there. And so I would love for you to consider that as part of your project as you do just lighter furniture, obviously not the treatment that you're doing on Sleeper Street, but some of that. And I agree with the commission, and I'm always very cautious of getting on what we do on the church side in terms of lighting. I know your 51 sign is far enough away from the church, but being cognizant that that is a church and trying to, you know, support the atmosphere and the environment there. And just a really quick aside, I'm really happy that you are going to be emphasizing 51 Sleeper Street as part of the Four Point Landmark Historic District and not trying to go to a Seaport Boulevard address. So thank you so much for honoring the district that you have the building in.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments coming through? Okay, all right, so we'll close the public comment period. And so it looks like, somebody can make a motion, but it looks like we've accepted as presented. And I think the only choice that we had to make was about the sign, and it sounded, or the lettering of the number. And it sounds like that we kind of prefer the backlit yellow 51, I think is what we were kind of going with. So if someone would like to frame a motion for this.
All right, so I'll move that we accept as presented with the option to, do you want to just say what you said, David, rather than my?
Yeah, to use the yellow backlit letters that would be not, in other words, the first choice versus the second choice. And I guess, you know, I do, while the motion is still being framed here, I do remember when you were here or whoever was here, the previous owner last time, and there was something, and I couldn't remember, but there was something that was going to be done at the side of the church. Sarah has now mentioned that there was going to be some kind of table and chair there. But I think the point of it was to try to animate that corridor that gets as the public walks through. Is that something that the owner can do, or is there any particular reason why you would not want to do that?
So originally the previous architect and design that was proposed, they were actually relocating the building lobby on the side of the church. So they were actually going to re-level that area, which allowed for more public seating. We're keeping the existing entry on Sleeper Street. So now there's just a tiny little egress corridor back there. So we really actually can't put any cafe seating, but it's really beautiful over there right now. There's a lot of cafe seating right next to the church, but we do have to keep that access.
Yeah, all right. I mean, I think if nothing else, as long as the public knows that it's an inviting way to walk mm-hmm. through, and there's, you know, they're not intruding on something, I think that's at least what we're looking for. So
I just want to make sure this doesn't get mixed up with the motion.
It looks like it's not going to be part of the motion.
Okay.
We're just going to, because they did not put it in their application. So, all right. So that's the motion. Second?
I'll second.
All right. So again, Commissioner Gourganian?
Yes.
Smilich?
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's go on to the next here. The next is 33 to 41 Farnsworth Street. This is a continuation from the June 9 hearing, and the proposed work is to install a mechanical system at the roof.
Good evening, commissioners. Doug Kelleher with Epsilon Associates, and with me is my colleague Liz Roachport. Rachel, Liz is happy to run the slides if you'd like, or we're happy to have you drive the presentation, whatever works best for you.
Yeah, you guys can say next slide, but if you would prefer to run it, that's okay too.
If we could run it, that it might be helpful. Great.
Gabby, will you make them a co-host? Thank you.
Sure. Oh, did I forget to make anybody else a co-host? You should be able to go ahead now.
Great, thank you. So again, Doug Kelleher with Epsilon, and just by way of background, Commissioner Gill may recall we were before the commission back in March for an advisory review hearing, which was very helpful in helping us sort of further advance the plans for the project. And we appeared before the commission last month for a formal design review hearing. And while we were fortunate to secure the approvals for the work at the rear of the building, we unfortunately ran out of time during the meeting, so weren't able to finalize the discussion regarding the rooftop equipment. That being said, the continuance for the rooftop equipment has allowed us the opportunity to explore some of the comments that the commission members did provide during the June hearing, as well as comments provided by staff. Since the June meeting, we were able to meet with staff both via Zoom as well as on the site to walk around the building and take a look at the mock-ups and to discuss some options for the placement of the rooftop equipment. So what you'll see tonight in the presentation is sort of two options, what we're calling option one, which was the original layout as presented at the June meeting, and option two, which is sort of an alternative to what we had for the June meeting. And we'll be able to see sort of the pros and cons of each. We'll welcome your feedback on each of those. With me this evening is Windsor DiPietro from MLL Capital, as well as Dan Zivek from Tria Architects. Windsor will offer a few comments about the project, and then Dan will take us through the slide deck. So, Windsor?
Hi, this is Windsor DiPietro with MLL Capital. Excited to be here tonight. As Doug mentioned, we've been working on this project for a bit here, and we're excited to kind of figure out what the right solution is for the rooftop units. The units we're replacing on the roof to convert the building from its current use as office to life science use, and their necessary equipment for that purpose. I'm going to turn it over, I think, to Dan or Doug.
To me, I think. Oh, no, to Doug. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, Dan.
So just a refresher on the site. This is where the location of the property is on Farnsworth Street. And today we're really only hoping to make a final decision on rooftop equipment arrangement. So as we said previously, we ran out of time to really sort of flush out the details of the arrangement in the last meeting. And since then have had the opportunity to walk the site and look at our options in detail with staff. and come up with what we think are sort of the two best options to run through with you guys today and see which one is more preferable for the district. So let's run through it. So just a refresher, there's already a good amount of equipment up on the roof. There are existing air handling units dotting the rooftop that are pretty tall and are visible in their existing condition. So just a reminder of what their current roof plan looks like. Line. So here are the two proposed options for the new rooftop equipment side by side. So we're going to be primarily focusing on the equipment on the left-hand side of the plan. The equipment on the right-hand side of the plan was determined to be non-visually obtrusive from any of the contextual photos we provided. And really, if you look at the image for the option one roof plan, the item that was holding us up was the addition of the new boiler room or penthouse extension on the left and how visible that was from the end of the Four Point Channel District and the views in from the Seaport, from Seaport Boulevard over by the brewery. So what you'll see on the right is a revision to that original floor plan where we've rotated the penthouse addition and the boiler room 90 degrees to pull it away from the edge of the building. However, to accommodate that shift and minimize the visibility of the penthouse itself, we had to shift the other equipment around the roof a little bit. So what it does is it pushes the generator closer to the edge on the Farnsworth Street side. And it pushes the air handling unit closer to the edge on the left-hand side of the plan. And then the VRF heat pumps, which you'll see on the top of the plan, are shifted closer to the, slightly closer to the perimeter. So you'll see the sort of visual impact and the cascading effect of that shift as we go through some of our 3D images. So next is the elevation. So just for context, this is the existing elevation. So like we talked about earlier, the current rooftop equipment is already relatively visible. The new rooftop equipment doesn't take up a significant more space or is not significantly more visually impactful. So if you go to the next slide, you can see the two options here for the equipment. I think it's a little bit less obvious which of these is more visually intrusive in the elevations, and we'll see more in the 3D views in a second. But the primary change here, as you can see in the view on the left for option one, the penthouse runs the full length of the leftern edge of the building and terminates very close to the edge of the building on the back alley. In the new option, you can see that penthouse is rotated and pulled significantly further away from the edge of the building. What's harder to tell here is the generator in particular. It looks the same in both images, but actually in the second option, it's much closer to the edge of the building on the Farnsworth side. And then just for comparison, these are the three views, just the top of the building, all in the same slide. So you can really see the difference in a bigger scale. Top image is the existing elevation showing the existing rooftop equipment. Second image is option one with the penthouse longitudinally on the building. And then the bottom image is option two with the penthouse rotated 90 degrees and the shifted equipment. This is the rear elevation from the alley behind. So you can see again, here's all of the existing equipment. Next slide. There you go. So here are the two options side by side again. So on the right-hand side of option one, you see the penthouse closer to the edge of the building running lengthwise. You see it rotated 90 degrees here for option two. And the VRFs are the big change in this image. So you see the four smaller white boxes in option one versus the five smaller white boxes in option two. The layout had to be reoriented and shifted closer to the edge of the building to accommodate the penthouse rotation. Again, the three views on the same sheet so that you can see the comparison with them all together. And then finally, the north elevation, which was deemed, I think, to be the most problematic elevation when staff went and walked the site. Here you see it again. You see the short side of the penthouse from this elevation, but it's much closer. In the new, in the modified option, you see the penthouse further away, but you see the broad side of the penthouse here in elevation. And then the three on the same sheets together for comparison. So those, I believe wraps up the technical drawings. I think you get a better sense from the images we're about, the 3D images we're gonna run through now.
Yeah, I mean, I think those are the ones that are important. I mean, because obviously these straight on elevations, they really don't say anything about what's gonna be hidden and what's not. So the views that, I guess the renderings are gonna be from the ground, right?
Correct. Yeah, and what we wanted to show you with these images is just the size and the scale of the equipment itself. So when you see the 3D images, you really only see a corner of something here and a corner of something there. So we wanted to make sure you understood what you were looking at size wise.
Okay.
Next slide. So this is the site plan that we've shown you for all of our presentations and the same views we've walked through, starting over on Stilling Street. And Thompson Place, we'll go sort of in this image counterclockwise around the site and see the visual impact. So you can see the chronological order of how those shots are taken. So for context, this is the existing photo from Calvin Place looking through an alley, which is sort of the furthest back viewpoint of all of this rooftop equipment. So what you see there is the edge of the existing penthouse. Go to the next line. So here are the two options. So you can see in option one, what's primarily visible here is the penthouse extension. The goal for that penthouse extension is for the finish to match the existing penthouse. So it looks like a contiguous volume. The current penthouse, upon further review, we've noticed that the paint is already peeling on that, off of that metal panel. So we would strip that and paint it new, and the new penthouse would match that exactly. And we can talk about the actual paint color and finish of that in the future. So for option two, which is the revised option, which we developed based on the feedback on the visual impact on the brewery side, this is the cascading impact further into the district on the opposite side. So what you can see on the right-hand side are the VRFs, which, as we mentioned, need to be closer to the edge of the building in order to accommodate the rotated penthouse. So instead of the side of the penthouse here, you'll see less of the penthouse, more of the VRFs, which are those small pieces of equipment that you see popping up there. Mm-hmm. We go to the next line. So this is closer between Calvin Place, between Stillings and Thompson Place. And again, this is just the existing conditions. Next line. I think this gives you a better sense of the difference in what you see. So on the left-hand side, you're gonna see the broad side of the penthouse and just the tips of those VRF units. In the revised option, you can see, you'll see less of the penthouse, but those VRF units are pushed much closer to the edge of the building and will be more visible. So again, going counterclockwise around the site, this is the view from Thompson Place and Seaport, closer to Seaport Boulevard. You can see Trillium in the bottom right-hand corner. This is your existing view. Next slide. And here is the difference. When we get to the next viewpoint, it's a little bit more obvious, but you can see in option one, the face of the penthouse over the edge, showing right above that ghost sign on the north face of the building was what was concerning the staff when they did their walkthrough. So this option is, the secondary option is specifically designed to minimize that the visibility of that penthouse. So you can see in option two, you get no visibility of that penthouse here, but you do start to see the VRF units poking up above the building. So this is a little bit closer. So we're standing just outside of Trillium in the alleyway. So again, you can see in option one, you see the side of that penthouse. Option two, what you see instead is the VRF unit. continuing clockwise around the building, what you see from Farnsworth Street as a pedestrian, is there's no visual impact. So for either option, the existing view, option one and option two from this viewpoint is the same. You don't see any rooftop equipment from Farnsworth Street. As you step back into that parking lot, this is the existing view. Next line. You do see a little bit of a difference here. So in option one, we weren't showing any of the rooftop equipment from that parking lot. In option two, you start to just barely see the top and edge of the generator. And it's a little hard to tell from this image here, but you'll actually see the railing that's on the edge of the catwalk on that generator, but just barely. And I think this parking lot was just purchased with plans to be developed anyway. So again, stepping further back in that parking lot. Line. So you can see in this image, in option one, very minimal visibility of the rooftop equipment. And option two, you start to see the side of the generator. And you'll start to see on the very left-hand edge of the image there, the top of the air handling unit, which was shifted in order to accommodate the rotated penthouse.
So option two has, what is that largest, the largest object there?
That's the generator.
And that's, and why is that not shown in option one, where you moved it to a different location?
Yeah, when we originally put it together, it was closer to the center of the building. It was pulled further away from the edge. Right. So you couldn't see it just because of the angle, the viewing angle.
All right. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding. When you say option one, option two, are you're not giving a hierarchy to this, are you? Like you're saying option one was what you showed before, but now the new improved version is option two. Is that what you're kind of conveying?
Yes. Option two is showing that, with reasonable shifts of the rooftop equipment, we can solve for the issues that were identified when option one was originally looked at. But there are a couple of compromises, and the idea for this presentation is for you guys to let us know which of the options you feel is better for the rooftop equipment.
Yeah, all right. Because I think
we've showed you the views thus far that I think favor the original option. I think if we go to the next slide, I think you see the benefits of option two, where we haven't seen them thus far. So this is the existing option one. Standing here, you would see the face of the penthouse. Option two, you see nothing.
All right, so option two corresponds to the option two you had on the previous slide. So if we say, yes, okay, put that structure so it's going to be more visible than it is in option one. Mm-hmm. But then on this view, it disappears for option two, but then you see a lot for option one. So it's going to be one of these six and a half dozen of the other, I guess. But all right, so.
Yeah, and I guess, so our thinking is, which would you rather see? I think what we illustrate in all of these options is that you'll either see sort of the penthouse extension, or you'll see the rooftop equipment itself, depending on how you orient things on the roof. I think we feel as a design group that we would rather see the penthouse, which is an object that's going to be built and we can control the finish of, to be contextual and something that we feel fits with the neighborhood. And we have a little bit less control over what the mechanical equipment looks like, the finishes of that. And it's harder to make that look like it belongs and was there originally. So that's really the choice we feel here.
So in this case, are you suggesting that option two would be the preferred placement of things? Because it's the, even though this-
So I think it may be helpful.
Go ahead.
Yeah, with that context, it may be helpful to actually spin backwards through the presentation and understand the visual impacts of both options again, now that we've gotten here. So I think you'll see in this view, option two is very clearly the preferred option, right? You see absolutely nothing on the roof. So if we flip back an option or two, from the Farnsworth Street side, when you're standing on Farnsworth Street, there's no difference between existing or our two proposed options here. you have this view from the parking lot, but we all understand that the view from the parking lot is temporary.
All right, so that's key. So with the exception, is this view from the parking lot or is this from the sidewalk, this slide?
This is from the beginning of the parking lot. So you're still in the parking lot, probably 10 or 15 feet in, but not all the way to the back of the parking lot.
So ultimately, when the building is built, probably this equipment will disappear because the parapet will cover it as you are closer, because you'll be closer to the building. So that's
as we
kind
go
of
further back. As we go further back, you'll actually see that that image, which is here. You don't see it. You don't see anything.
So this image represents option one or option two?
This represents all of the options. No matter what, you don't see anything.
Okay. What's that little piece up here though that I'm seeing towards the middle right?
That's an existing top of former elevator shaft.
Okay. Okay.
And so we're actually using that as our air shaft underneath our air handling unit, so it stays.
So nothing new is going to pop through it. Just whatever is there now. Okay.
Exactly. If we keep going back. So here is where you have a choice. So you have the original option where you see the penthouse, or you have option two, which is, you know, the same as option two. You get to see, you see the VRFs instead. I think they're smaller and they're smaller individual objects instead of something massive and contiguous continuous like the penthouse, but it's mechanical equipment versus something you have strict control over the finish and aesthetic.
So in option two, what are they actually? Are these pipes that are sticking up there, or what are these things?
They're basically chillers. So you're seeing the exhaust outlets for the chillers. So they're shedding heat out of grates.
Okay. All right. So then I'm just saying,
if we continue going back.
Yeah. If we look at that one though, it sounds like maybe option two is still the better of the two, just because it's less of a volume that we're looking at. But okay. And then this one here is the very top of the building. Again, option two has nothing visible, but option one has that one piece.
Well, you can see something in two, but it's very faint, right?
Do you have a cursor or a pointer that you can use, or a cursor to show on these? Yeah, use your cursor there so I can. Those are the smaller profile pieces though that'll be visible there. Okay.
This image is really helpful contextually. So if you see the building in the back with the green windows on the top, you actually see the rooftop equipment and the edge of a penthouse. So that's really the reality of your choice. Which of those objects would you rather see? I think that building does a better job of showing reality than the renderings do.
Yeah. All right. And I mean, somehow, if I have to make a judgment on the visibility of a big mass like the penthouse or these smaller pieces, the smaller pieces maybe have a more of an industrial feel, I think. And that might be a way to justify having to look at those versus a big mass. But okay, so sounds like right now still option two in terms of the placement of things seems to be the best or the least damage in terms of visibility. Am I kind of interpreting that? Okay, so let's go back again. Yep. Is this the last view here? Okay, here we go.
So this is a view from an alley between Calvin and Thompson Place, or between Stillings and Thompson Place. So it's a it's one of the only other places where you'll be able to see equipment at all in the district. But it is, it's far back, and this is an incredibly zoomed in image. Just for context there. So you see just the tops of the VRFs in option one, you see more of the VRFs in option two. And the amount of penthouse you see is almost the same in both options, just because of the limited viewing angle. And I think if we go back a couple more slides, so this is really what that view looks like all the way back. And this is the only glimpse you get through that alleyway.
So option one, you're basically accepting the penthouse and then making a big extension of it. So it has the appearance of a big, massive piece up there versus two, which keeps the two things sort of separate. Which, you know, I think perhaps in my mind anyway, makes them feel less massive up there.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I wonder, Dan, if it might be helpful if we go to the portion of the slide deck that shows the equipment specifically, so David and the other commissioners can get a sense of exactly what we're talking about as far as equipment.
Yeah, sure.
I think there's one more view at the end that you need to show too, Dan. That one.
So you using your cursor.
This is a view from. Outside the district. Yep. But this is sort of the gateway view into the district. So. Yeah. It's not an insignificant view.
Right.
So this is
right.
The existing view. And here are the two options. So I think that this is a view that's worth discussing. In option one, you don't see anything. In option two, you see the air handling unit that's been pushed towards the front of the building. That's a good point. Okay. There.
So in this particular case, just so if we say, option one's better, that means though all the other views of it are going to be more prominent in the other slides.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the one slide that really has option two as probably, in my mind, probably the most visibility and maybe the most negative part of it. But again, you're right. It is technically out of our purview, but the guidelines were set up where these view corridors from outside the district, we wanted to make sure that they were kept open so that we could get visual penetration through. But if this is the one and only for option two that is the most visible, I guess maybe it's probably better to stay with two. And then again, you're going to talk about the whatever material and colors. Is that part of this application or not?
There is a section where we talk about that. Yep.
All right. So in this case, just so I can see, I mean, the thing is, it's very light, the photo, so it's hard to say, but this would be considered a gray color, a light gray right now.
Yeah, so, and we have a slide that specifically focuses on it. So every manufacturer has a set of standard factory finishes. All of them sort of come in a light gray, with the exception of the VRFs, which don't have any color options, and they come in kind of an almond color. Do we want to jump to those slides?
Well, I guess, unless if the commissioners have any questions right now while we're still on this, you can go to the colors.
I don't.
Okay.
I would just say that we're probably picking the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, seems like that. Yeah.
So now we want to minimize whatever needs to be there in terms of color and texture. And...
Mm-hmm.
The next couple of slides just
show you what the equipment we're talking about is. And what it looks like is not a specific color reference. We'll talk about the colors at the end. So this is the generator. So in option one, you see where it's closer to the core or the spine of the building and pulled away from the facade. In option two, it gets pushed closer, but on Farnsworth side, as we know, we're view constricted and it's not as much of an issue. So we're generally okay pushing the generator out.
Again, can you use your pointer? Because I can't read any of the lettering here at all, so it's so light. Okay, that's the generator there. All right, yep.
Yeah, and I should mention this. For each of these slides, the piece of equipment that's shown is the highlighted in blue item in the image below, so it's easier to see because I don't think anybody can read it.
What?
So this is just the air handling unit, are examples of an air handling unit. So the two on the right are your lab units. The one on your left is the office unit. So the two blue units on the right are the two images on the right. The unit on the left is the image is the blue square on the left. So in option one, you can't see that air handling unit from any of the views. In option two, that's what you're seeing from Seaport Boulevard is the side of that unit itself.
Okay, all right.
These are the VRFs that we were talking about. So this is what you're going to see above from Trillium and from the alleyway where we showed you those views. These are also the one piece of equipment that don't come with any finish choices. They come in that almond color that you see in the right-hand image, and we cannot field paint them. It voids the warranty on the equipment. So what you see on the right is what you get. Mm-hmm. These are the condensers. You don't see these in any of the views that we showed you. They're short pieces of equipment, and they're tucked as close to the core as possible. But that's what those look like. That's the exhaust air handling unit. Again, it's not visible in any of the views, and wasn't addressed in the presentation. Those are the exhaust fans that attach to that exhaust air handling unit. Same thing.
God, these things are massive. Wow. All right. And this is just a simple condenser.
Those are the biggest pieces of equipment, but they're not visible. So they've been located in the right spot. And then the condensers, again, you don't see them in either option. They're nested against the edge of the penthouse, and they're smaller pieces of equipment.
Yeah.
So this is the rooftop boiler house. What you see there is the existing. The mock-up image that's shown surrounding that is you can see on the left-hand side there is sort of the perimeter of the addition for option two. But we just wanted to show you, and the image on the right is us verifying that they were actually built and installed according to the dimensions on our plans. This is sort of the big item that we're talking about. This is the alternative of what you'd see. This is going to get stripped and repainted as a similar gray color to what it was. And the new addition will be the same gray color.
All right. So this is an existing piece that's up there now.
Correct.
Right. All right. And so that's it right there. Okay. Where your cursor is, just the two X's combined is where that is. All right. That whole piece.
Yeah. And the stair, it's the larger box around those two X's in the stair.
All right. So this on option one is where you would then build the new piece and try to make it all one continuous plane across the side of it. So it has a more massive look. And then option two, you're turning it and revealing the view of, in other words, creating two separate pieces to look at rather than one big massive volume.
Right. And by turning it, you don't see it from some of the views where you would have, where we saw it sort of very close to the edge before. So,
all right.
The benefit of the turn as well. So like we said, the VRF heat pumps on the left there, they come in almond, and that is it. And we can't paint them. On the right, this is just a generic color chart from a manufacturer. Every manufacturer's gray, standard grays are a little bit different, but they're all within the same gray family. So we know that we can get something sort of within this color chart for all of the other equipment that will blend into the existing penthouse and is contextual with all of the other rooftop equipment you see in the area.
All right.
And then finally, like we said, we can control what the facade of that boiler room looks like. So the question becomes, if we have that choice, and because we're going to be repainting the original penthouse, which is remaining, what would be the color preference there? So we sort of looked at it contextually, and we said we have two options. It can be the gray that exists, and the gray that you see sort of contextually on the other buildings in the area, or it can be more of a nod towards some of the newer work that we're seeing. So the cladding on the Trillium roof deck that also would match sort of the black or dark gray cladding on the Sleeper Streets presentation that we saw earlier. So something along those veins that is sort of looks industrial and is feels modern, but still contextual, or something that is truly contextual to what's around it.
All right, so you lost me here a little bit. So we're looking at two views, one a dark view and one a light view. So explain again, and then this is a new piece of equipment that's going to be up here. And so you've chosen to show it dark, a darker gray or a lighter gray.
Correct. And so just for the record, if we went with option two, which it seems like we wanted to do, you wouldn't see this at all. And it sort of
you wouldn't see that at all.
point
from
this view, but you do see it from other views, right?
I see.
So the lighter gray matches the existing penthouse and other penthouses you can see in the area. The dark color matches the color of the trillium space below in this image. So it speaks to its immediate context instead of the overall context.
All right. So I guess we should stay on this to look at it to see. To do the darker one, this looks like it's going to stand out more against the blue sky. Your eye will go to it. The one on the bottom there is a lighter color. Your eye maybe skips over it a little bit. And that one is the one that you said will match other equipment that's on there, on the building currently, right?
It's on the building currently and on other surrounding buildings. And that sort of color tone of metal is also present in other metal elements in the district. So you can see the shutters on the Trillium and those shutters are repeated very frequently in the district as well. So it is a more contextual sort of gray color.
Yeah. And when you said the top one matches the Trillium, where would that be? That just that band there. Oh, that's it. Yeah. I don't think that is as important, but yeah. All right. So it seems like just as a way of determining a color, it seems like a lighter value is the way to go. I mean, again, if the other commissioners feel differently, I'd love to hear that. Because I'm trying to anticipate what kind of decisions we need to make ultimately at the end here. So
I think that makes sense.
So, all right. So is that it now?
That's it.
All right. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, David, could I just jump in here for a second?
Yeah.
And if we go back to that last slide, I wanted to just make a point from the ownership's group, the ownership of the building. This is, you know, really kind of option one. It was our original proposal. And the reason that we proposed it was because it pulled all of the equipment in towards the center line of the building and made it, you know, as invisible as possible. And we felt that we could control the look of this penthouse because we're constructing it on site more than the mechanical equipment. And we could choose the exact color where, you know, mechanical equipment, we have to get in sort of the color that the manufacturer makes it. We have some prefabricated color selections, but, you know, at the end of the day, it looks like mechanical equipment. And so, you know, that was the purpose of this slide, is to sort of show how we can make that mechanical penthouse look and that we can control that. When we flip it 90 degrees the other way, it obviously pushes everything out towards the edge. And I think, as somebody said earlier, it's, you know, what's the lesser of two evils? Our original proposal, you know, when we did the original proposal, we really felt that, you know, we could at least control what this looks like to a greater degree. And so that was the reason. And that's the reason that we ended with this, because this was sort of the point of contention in the last meeting, was, well, what is this going to look like looming over it? Nobody had really mocked it up, or it had been mocked up, but it wasn't, you know, really well defined what it would be.
So let me ask you this. You're saying this was your first, in other words, option one and two that you showed here tonight, neither one of those are the one that you prepared earlier for us. Is that correct?
No, sorry. Option one was our original proposal.
Was what you showed us the last time.
Okay. And that's that view that you're seeing by Trillium is option one. That's what the penthouse will look like. And that was, you know, the reason we ended on this slide was because that was one of the big questions on the last meeting was, what is that penthouse going to look like looking over that brewery? Yeah. And so we wanted to make sure you guys understood what it looks like, because going with option two has its own set of compromises that you need to make.
But this view, and for option two, this view doesn't exist. We don't see it. Is that correct?
Right. Exactly. Okay. Exactly.
So I guess, you know, I wasn't kind of keeping score as you were going through. I mean, I guess the way to help make the decision is, you know, how many of the views that you showed had visibility, more visibility with one or more visibility with two. It seems like the option two had either less visibility, or meaning no visibility, or less visibility, meaning minimizing the view. I mean, I hope I'm making that right.
David, if I may.
And I think the distinction is what you guys prefer to see as the visibility, right? So in option two, there was more visibility of the VRFs, but
yeah.
If I'm quoting you correctly, I think you prefer sort of the porous view through the VRFs over the solid wall view of the penthouse. So through that metric, then, you know, most of the views are better, with the exception of the view from Seaport Boulevard looking back into the space, which is where you see that air ham, the side of the air handling unit.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's my thinking on this. If the commissioners have a different idea, I'd love to hear that. I'm just trying to be able to figure out and be able to make a decision at the end of all this so you can move forward on it. So
David, I think what might be helpful is if Liz could go through the roof plans with the highlighted equipment, we'll just quickly highlight or point to those items that become more visible under, say, option two. We know option one, the biggest visibility is the extension of the penthouse. But again, as Windsor said, we have the ability to control how that is detailed, but we have less control over the equipment. So again, in option two, which we see here on the right, the generator comes closer to the elevation of Farnsworth Street, which granted has limited visibility based on the narrowness of Farnsworth Street. Next slide. So here, this is where the air handling units, as Dan said, becomes much more visible. You get the elongated view of the air handling units.
Okay, can I stop you? If what would really help is label where the streets, the street names are, so I'm able to keep the building in its context.
Sure. So we're option two, where we see option two at the bottom.
Yeah.
That's Farnsworth Street.
That's Farnsworth Street, okay.
So.
And the views of those things there, though, most of those shots that you took were from the empty lot, right? Which.
Correct, because
eventually we'll have a building in there eventually, and so any view won't be seen after that. So, okay. So go ahead.
And if Seaport Boulevard, which would be over on the far left,
right? The far left. Okay, right.
Sorry, I think far left. Yep.
Okay. So the far left, and that's the view that we're looking through. We wanted to keep the corridor view open. And in this case, option one had the less visibility because it's turned 90 degrees. It was option two that had, you saw more of it. But if we want to be able to say, well, okay, but that vantage point was outside the district and therefore not in our purview, option two might still be able to be acceptable. And on that one, that structure there, that is also paintable.
It's, you know, it can come in a factory finish, a gray factory finish.
Okay.
But other than that, that's really the limit.
All right. So yeah, we have options there All right.
So these are the VRF units, which, while they can be sort of spread out a little bit and make them, you know, break up the mass, they are only, we can only get them in this almond color. Otherwise, you know,
yeah. So it looks like based on where that is on the roof, those things are going to be visible option one and option two for the most part.
Right? Visible under option one from, can you point out where the beer garden is? So over So again, under option one, you see more of the extended penthouse, but you don't see the VRF units.
Okay.
You don't see the penthouse, but you do see the almond VRF units.
Yeah. All right. Whew. All right.
No change. No, it doesn't matter. It's same. Not visible. Yeah. This is all limited visibility as well.
This is not visible either. Okay. And these things are,
So as Lynn said, it really comes down to, you know, which is the lesser of two evils. Or,
right.
Would you rather see, more of the boiler house here, you know, which we can control how that's clad, or would you rather see, you know, less of it and see more of the VRF units, which we really have no control over the
Okay. You know, before we comment more, you know, I'm going to throw this to Gabrielle and Rachel, just because you guys went out there.
Yes, we did.
What are, in your minds, what is of option one and two, you know, in this particular case, having to see more of the mass of the building here, of the penthouse, or see a smaller version of it on option two?
Glad you asked, David. We do prefer option two. We think that, you know, we're not so concerned about the visibility from a parking lot. And
especially there's going to be a building on that structure anyways.
Yeah.
Moving clockwise around the building, not seeing the penthouse now, we think is actually a really great thing. You can control that structure, but it's a permanent structure. What happens when people leave the building? Mechanicals, though permanent in their own way, are more movable. You're going to upgrade your mechanical equipment over time. Once you build the boiler room penthouse, it's there. We also see that the boiler room head house is atop of what is a ghost sign in the district. So people will be looking at it. It's drawing attention to it. And this is like one of the views as you walk into the district, you're going to Trillium. You're going to see it. And we think that it's much more impactful than the mechanicals.
In option two.
We prefer option two.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's where we were leaning or going. So, all right. So that's great to hear. So now we need to look at some kind of color thing here. And if you can go through and sort of demonstrate which of these six colors kind of go with all of the other kind of equipment that's up there. I mean, it doesn't look like there's a heck of a lot of difference. I mean, when you look at something, any one of these six colors, and you look at it on the top of the roof, I don't think anybody's going to be able to see a difference.
Right. And that's that is actually the point of this slide. So we don't have final color selections from the manufacturers yet, but we do know from our experience that all of the equipment will come in a standard color that is somewhere within this gray tone family. They may be slightly different, but from the ground against the sky, you won't be able to notice that difference for the small portions of the equipment that you do see. So our goal is to get the factory finish that falls within this gray tone family and make sure everything is as close to that as possible.
All right. So then just out of curiosity, of the shot that you showed us looking over the Trillium sign, and even though that view of that structure is not going to be visible for option two, the dark color that is shown there, would that be representative of one of the darkest color in this group of six or not? In other words, want to know how dark we'd need to go.
No, that's black. That's not gray. Okay. That's black. The gray tone family is what's shown in the lower image there.
Yeah, and so pretty much any one of those can work, I'm going to guess, is what you're trying to say here. Because I know my experience with things that have to be located way up on the top of the roof, and if you're trying to pick a color to choose the value of that color, the dark value or the light value, if you have a light, like say the lightest gray there, if you chose to make that and put that up on the roof, it's going to look white. Yeah, so I think if you wanted to have some kind of a tone to it, you need to go into the darker values. Otherwise, it gets washed out and looks white. So I guess, I don't know, maybe we just either have staff defer to them to pick out the final color or...
And David, I was going to say, we'd be happy to work with staff to find...
Yeah, I think that's probably the way to go. It's a pretty subtle thing. All right. So if the commissioners, you guys have any thoughts you want to say before we throw it out to the public?
Is that everything?
I think it is, right? You guys are done?
Yes.
Okay, because there's a lot in here about louvers and looking at this description here, louvers, louvered windows.
So we had...
That was all covered.
We had presented all the other improvements which were approved. This was the only continuance.
So this shouldn't have been here. Okay.
Okay, so this was the only continuance. So, all right. All right. You know, it is right. I mean, Rachel's right. I mean, if this tenant goes, I mean, then all this stuff, I have to assume, gets cleared off the roof. This is a lot of stuff. So, all right. This is a life science building that's going in here, or a client. Is that who this is? A life science company?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for a life science use. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Because based on the 12 Farnsworth building, I mean, these people seem to need a lot of big stuff. I mean, to get their operations going. So, okay. Why don't we open this up to the public? So if I can get the script up here. All right, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. Sarah McCammon.
Yes, thank you, Commission. I wanted to just ask a couple questions, if I may. And it's in regards to noise. So you may have answered this in a previous presentation, but could you just remind me how you're mitigating noise? I mean, a lot of the views that the important view corridors that we looked at showed Trillium, for example, in their roof deck. So if you could speak a little to how you're mitigating the noise that those people on that roof deck would be hearing while they're out having a beer or whatever. And then also talking about how, if you have any idea, are all of these mechanicals going to be running 24/7, or are you anticipating a 24/7 building, or just during normal business hours? And my last question, I've forgotten it at the moment. And then if you could just tell me between option one and option two, with the percentage of the rooftop that you are using for coverage for these mechanicals. Thank you.
Yeah, I can field those. Questions.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So we did extensive acoustic studies and rooftop coverage studies. So both options have the same rooftop coverage, and it's below 33% of the roof, or a third of the roof, which is the zoning requirement. And then for acoustics, we have Ascentec involved, which is the go-to acoustics engineer in Boston. And they've reviewed the specified rooftop equipment and verified that we're meeting all Boston all Boston sound and noise ordinances. And in most cases, we're exceeding them by a significant margin. So the placement of the rooftop equipment in both options was looked at from an acoustic perspective. And that is was part of the primary drivers of why we're limited to just those two options. So there may be other ways to organize that equipment on the roof, but if we do so, it has adverse noise impacts. So that's why we were limited to those two options. The building itself will primarily, life science uses primarily only during business hours. The rooftop equipment, some of the rooftop equipment will run 24/7, but again, all of it is within the Boston City Ordinance limits.
Okay, great, thank you. All right, are there other comments coming through?
No, I don't see any.
All right, well, so we can entertain a motion. It sounds like the motion would, we can simply just say option two. To follow option two, and that the proviso would be the ultimate final color selections would be chosen by the staff. But I just want to say too, first of all, thank you for this. It was extremely complicated to try to go through all this. And I think you know, in the end, I think we kind of figured it all out. So that's, and I think we're probably going to get the best solution here. So, all right. Can we have a motion then on this?
I'll make a motion to accept the application, all the provisions offered for option two, and remand final color selection to staff.
I'll second.
Great. All right. So Commissioner Smilage.
Yes.
Gorganian.
Yes.
And all right. Thank you.
Thank you. And special thank you to Gabby and Rachel. They're very helpful working us through this. I mean, this is a complicated one, and they've been very helpful. And again, we didn't have a, you know, strong opinion one way or the other, but they challenged us to think outside the box and shuffle the deck up on the roof to see what the options were. And I think we're very happy that they're able to help us to that. So.
Okay. Well, good. Thank you. It's a nice shout out to them. All right. Thanks a lot. All right, are we done with this? Oh no, we have more here. So the last one is application 22.1403. This is 36 Thompson Place, and the proposed work is removal of existing glass and aluminum storefront system at the opening in the alley and replace with new aluminum storefront system with a door, two side light panels, and new concrete stair and or with a metal railing. Okay, so I think this was pretty straightforward, but go ahead.
Yep. Good evening, everyone. My name is Nate Turner. I'm with Margulies Prutzi Architects. I'm working with the building owner, the Crosspoint and Invesco team, and this is regarding 36 Thompson Place. So we can probably go through these slides pretty quickly. That's just an outline of what we're going to cover, but I'll dive right into the next slide, which is giving bearing on where the building is within the district. And then the image on the right is where the building is in relationship to Thompson Place. So if we go to the next slide, one of the things that we've seen over the years is just, you know, respecting the loading bay openings and existing facades. So the image on the left is showing, you know, where we are within the alley. And we just included a courtesy image on the right of the front portion of 36 Thompson. But the main thing we want to talk about is the alley. So if we go to the next slide, this is what it all comes down to. The image on the left is the existing condition where we are looking at removing an aluminum and glass storefront system that was installed circa 1999. And what we are looking to do is add an additional egress door out of the building. And in doing so, we need a new storefront system that has a door and, you know, framing finished to match the adjacent windows, as well as a stair that matches the existing conditions kind of elsewhere in the alley. So we have some supporting content here to talk through the rhyme and reason of how we got there. The next slide shows existing photos of both the opening that I just talked about on the left. And on the right is an example of existing conditions elsewhere. People have added a, you know, cast in place concrete stair with some supporting metal railing and guardrails. So the thing here that we want to point out is if you look at the image on the left, there may be some questions about the loading bay and you know, what it consists of and how it relates to other items in the district. For that, we pulled together a few images on the next slide, where we wanted to show that there's a really a cross sampling of historic photos that range from the granite kind of jams or curb edges, as well as the sill. And an example of that is a building on the right that no longer exists. But there's also an image of portion of the alley on the far image on the left and a portion of it in the middle, where you kind of see, it's probably hard to see at this scale, but you see an exposed brick edge condition where, you know, these photos were taken between 1898 to 1907. There are examples of there being just exposed brick on the edges. So because we couldn't decipher when the metal edges were added, we decided, you know, let's leave them in place, leave well enough alone, and really just think about how we are swapping out the glass and storefront, which is not original, and adding a stair. It just goes up against the building edge, but not impacting any portion of the building in doing so. So if we go to the next slide, we're almost done here. Now that you have that little bit of description, here's the before and after showing what's involved. You know, the top image is really showing keeping as much in place as possible, except for that 1999 era, you know, infill. And then at the bottom, what the final condition would look like. So if we go to the last slide, it's just showing, you know, some additional information on dimensions and what would that look like from outside of the railing and then inside of the railing. So the idea here is that we're trying to match the finishes as much as possible and be as you know, least disruptive as possible as well. And that's it.
Okay. All right. So that is pretty straightforward. I guess the one question I have is, and I'm hoping that it can remain in place, but the granite piece that's at threshold, is that going to be able to stay in place and then you'll just meet your stairway up to it, or does that have to be taken
Yes.
out?
And basically that granite piece at the threshold, you know, that kind of what used to be the kind of the loading level.
Yeah.
That is actually, it's wrapped in metal.
Okay.
So I've only seen a few other instances of this in the Fort Point district. And the idea is we want to keep that in place as well. Yes.
All right. Does it make it, do you need to remove the metal for that at least, or?
No. I think what we're going to be able to do is actually use that almost as like a natural construction joint. So we can go right up to the edge of that. And if we have to do anything, we could probably put a neoprene or construction gasket up to it to help protect it.
Well, that's great. So none of the existing pieces like that will have to be taken out. So, and my opinion, I think on the doorway, it's no one's going to know whether it was a window or a door. I think that's fine. You'll obviously match the metals of what's going on in the building. The railing seems to be matching other styles of railings that are put in. I think maybe we'd make the request to just keep it a raw galvanized metal rather than try and paint it.
Sure.
And you said this is going to be precast concrete here. Is that what you're using?
This might be? The whole bottom is going to be concrete. You just don't know
if we're
going to do a formwork or precast. Yeah.
If it's poured in place, I don't mind, even if it has a crudeness to it, because all these things usually in the district have a roughness to them. So, all right. I appreciate those historic photos because, you know, I'm telling you, I just can't seem to get any people to understand this more. But these railroad tracks were such a thing in this district, and nobody tries to replicate them, especially on this building. When you've got those loading docks that are raised up like that, that was specific to receive a car that would come right up close to the facade of the building. And I wish that the site work at the bottom of your building there at least had some kind of a metal rail in the pavement to sort of recall that. But anyway, that's my two cents. I just wish that could be something that could be achieved more. All right. Do the other two commissioners, you have anything you want to say on this?
No, but that middle picture I've never seen before. That's stunning.
It's pretty neat, yeah, with the shutters and everything. I think that's a really great view.
And do you know where that one is? Just out of curiosity. I mean, I'm not trying to put anyone on the spot, but it's I like that one personally because that's the 47 Farnsworth building on the right. So that's...
That's Trillium. That's Trillium?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Okay, the shorter... Yeah. Well, this I think we saw this back, and that's what made us... encourage the owner to put shutters on the windows because they were such a prominent part of this view. Yeah. Okay. So with that said, if someone just wants to make a motion on this, and we can. Public comment. Yes. Okay. Members of the public now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment and application discussions. So please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. Sarah McCammon.
I have just a really quick question. The cobblestones.
Yes.
Are they staying below the new stairs, or are you repurposing them? I don't know how historic they are, but we do like our cobblestones in the neighborhood.
That's a great question, and I'm glad you asked. So yes, I think we can retain those in place. So there's I don't know if it's 12 inches or 18 inches edge banding of cobblestones against the building, and we should be able to retain those.
Okay, great. Thanks. All right. I think that's probably the last comment. So let's have a motion on this, please.
Move to approve as presented, I think.
Okay. Yep. And I think that was it. No proviso's on that. Well, like, with the exception of the metal railing, if that can stay raw galvanized,
yes.
That would be probably preferred. Okay. Second?
I'll second.
All right. So Commissioner Gorganian.
Yes.
Smilage.
Yes.
And I vote yes. All right. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay. That's our last item. And we got to do approvals. Do we have any minutes to approve this or not? Oh yeah. Ratification of the minutes here. What? Let me just see what this last.
Yeah. We have one administrative review item, but no one has to present on it. It's just the repointing of the facade of 344 Congress Street in kind.
All right. And why do we need to review that?
They just go through the design review process, and because it's an in-kind repointing of the facade, they share with us the details, and Gabby and I say, great, that's an administrative review item, so they don't come to the presentation.
Yeah,
we just have to approve it, that's all.
We just have,
approve it. Yeah, sorry.
Okay, we approve of your approval. Okay, and that is the 344 Congress Street, right? Yes, okay. All right, so this is an application that came before the Landmark staff, and they approved it in-house with the because it has it was adhering to the guidelines. So our vote at the end would be to approve their finding, and that's application 22.1298 at 344 Congress Street, and it's the repointing of the facade of the building in kind.
So, I move to approve it.
Second.
Okay, second. All right, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right. And the last is the ratification of the June 9, 2022 public hearing minutes. If anybody doesn't have any additions or subtractions, we can have a motion on those.
I'll move to approve.
All right. And Sue, you second?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? None. All right, staff updates.
We don't really have a ton of staff updates. The most important one is something that we found out literally like maybe 10 minutes before the hearing started, which is that tomorrow is when I'm going to butcher it, even though I've heard this every day, every hearing for the past 2.5 years, but the open public meeting law, the suspension, that has not been re-signed yet. So we're being told right now by legal in the city to proceed with scheduling in-person hearings again. We don't have further guidance for hybrid. We're just being told in person right now. So expect August to be in person. It'll be the same place that it has been in the past, but we will remind you. And if we hear anything changing that, we will also let you know as soon as we can.
Is there an effort made on, sort of in the works to keep it through the, virtual like this or non-virtual?
There's a whole big plan to make them hybrid from now on, starting next year, and to continue remote until next year. But apparently none of that's been signed.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And Joe told us, too, at the last Landmarks meeting that it was extended. They just hadn't.
Yeah.
They because the mayor's office like got overly confident about it, and they were they sent us an email being like, expect that this will be re-signed. Why he's saying that.
When you say re-sign, meaning keep it as it is now, perhaps. Yeah. So that's okay. So all right. So we'll just wait to hear from you on that, whether we have to appear at City Hall or not. Yep.
But other than that, Rachel, is there anything that I'm forgetting?
Street
lighting. So we met with street lighting like the other day, and basically we've decided that we are holding off on reviewing any more DIS notes until we until we have some sort of further.
Thank you.
We aren't reviewing design review applications for them. We're holding off until we can make some progress in the collaboration with Street Lighting, with Do It, with the carriers, but that is in motion.
So that's citywide, not just for Four Point.
Correct.
Okay, good.
I would encourage the city to be very aggressive about what they expect, because I do believe these could be improved significantly if the companies were forced to do that.
I imagine some world where we'll have to make some type of subcommittee for this. So you guys can keep that in mind.
Yeah, and there must be other cities that are doing the same thing. It'd be nice to see what other cities are doing as well, you know?
I think we're just delving into a bigger project of it.
Yeah. All right. Good. All right.
No, and I apologize again for losing my mind.
No, but you're so responsible. I thought you were lying on the side of the road somewhere.
Lost my mind.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're here. So.
All right.
Okay. So with all that, if there's nothing more, we'll motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
And all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
All right. Thanks.
Bye, everyone.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.